Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast will join us in 1 hour. We'll get his thoughts, kind of gauging the temperature on the trade market in the NHL. But speaking of trades and moves, the Titans made some big-time moves yesterday. Cut Taylor Lewan, cut Robert Woods, cut Randy Bullock. And then after we were off air yesterday, the Titans cut Zach Cunningham, which I don't think any of those moves, to be honest, you may, I don't think any of those moves were groundbreaking, earth-shaking. They weren't anything that we didn't expect. They were all players that had a healthy paycheck and either players that didn't produce or weren't consistent, couldn't contribute on the field, like a Taylor Lewan who was always on and off the field, or Robert Woods who was paid, what, $14, $15 million to drop balls and, you know, catch for 450 yards last season. So it was all moves that we expected, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, all moves that we expected. But a lot of the conversation after all of those moves were made were, should the Titans bring Taylor Lewan back eventually? Should they re-sign Taylor Lewan to like a one-year deal, a couple million dollars, like a very much so reduced salary and reduced contract term just to have an insurance piece on the offensive line? I understand the sentiment of, look, this offensive line is in disarray. You're going to have to replace minimum 3 pieces of the offensive line, probably 4 if we're being honest, depending on the Aaron Brewer or the Benton Jones situation. So I understand the sentiment of, you know, let's stick around with one of the devils that you do know just in case, because this offensive line is going to have to undergo a whole lot of overhaul. Your thoughts, because I have thoughts on this. I have an opinion on this. I want to hear your thoughts first about the Titans potentially bringing back Taylor Lewan on a reduced deal.
I would say probably not. I can see if Taylor ended the season healthy and he had played all 17 games, or say if he played 14, 15 games and they chose to cut him. I can see a scenario where they say, okay, he played pretty much the whole season. You know, he played well. So we don't think he's worth the $14, $15 million that he's making. So let's bring him back at a much reduced price. And, you know, say, hey, listen, you got to compete for the left tackle position. It's just not your job. You got to compete with whoever we draft. I can see that being a scenario. But he's ended, you know, he's played the last 3 years. He's missed, you know, almost half, or if not, hell, he's missed over half of the games in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with either PEDs or injury. Mm-hmm. I don't think Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel is in the business of bringing individuals back that spent more time on the injured list than they did playing. And as likable as Taylor Lewan has been, and he's been an ambassador, you know, for this team. He's been a spokesman at times for this team. He's been a captain at one point. Even with all of that, you know, under this circumstance, new GM, you're trying to move in another direction. You can't then bring him back. Now, if you have some injuries and he's your best option of guys that you're sort of picking through, then yes, potentially you can bring him back. But I don't think they're doing anything that's going to you know, force them to or put them in a position where they got to pay Taylor Lewan again for another full season, and knowing he just came off an ACL injury. That more than anything, I believe, is the reason why they don't want to sign him back, because he's coming off another injury.
That's the thing. And why would you get back into bed with the same problem that you – the reason that you cut him for,
yeah,
that he's always injured and he's not reliable.
Yeah.
I do understand the sentiment, but for that to even happen, one, Taylor Lewan would want to come back to football. He was on Bussin' with the Boys. It was today, right, Nick? It was today on Bussin' with the Boys. He was talking about what comes next. This was Taylor Lewan.
There was a piece of me that's like, should I be doing something? Should I be? And then when I walked out of the building today, like, said hello to everybody, talked to all the guys that I've been around for a long time. There's a lot of guys that have been in that building for a long time, and I've gotten to know really well. And after those goodbyes, I kind of walked out, and I was like, this is, it's a refreshing feeling.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Like, the mourning process has happened since I got hurt week two of the season. Because when I had to go get surgery, I went to Vrabel's office and I said, I know I'm going to get cut. I understand. Like, that is how this is going to work. So the mourning process has been since the fall. And now that it's happened, I really just thought like they were going to like put me down. Like, they were going to shoot me or something and it was going to be over.
Yeah.
But really, like, I walked in there and Vrabel and I were talking about Jen and her foot when they first came to Tennessee, and then Rand came in and shook his hand and kind of just sat there for a second. I go, so how's this go? And like, do you guys put it like, kill me?
Yeah.
Like, what's the deal?
Pull out the shotgun.
And they're just like, they're like, yeah, we just gotta, you know, we're releasing you and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I know. So is that it? And then that was kind of the end of the conversation. Yeah,
that was it.
There was a question of whether or not they would have to go into all the conversation. But the answer is I got cut. And now I just got to figure out what to do.
Do you know what you want to do right now?
I want to get my knee healthy is what I want to do, because.
Awfully graphic from Taylor Lewan. Always has a way with words.
I don't think it's that. I mean, I don't know. But this is what you would Taylor. And I understand, you know, the dramatics of, you know, you listen to the podcast and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
So I get it. You know, but that's the nature of the business.
When you're injured, business.
But I mean, listen, how I feel about this is when you get injured, if you then go into your coach's office and say, well, I know you're going to cut me. If I'm the coach, I'm like, okay, I'll cut you. All right, go get healthy. You've already put it out in the universe. I may not have been thinking about that as a head coach. Now, the GM, it could have been a different story. As a head coach, I may not have, because I'm sure Vrabel wasn't, when he got hurt, Vrabel wasn't thinking, oh, I'm cutting you. Vrabel has to worry about the season.
He's like, who the hell is my left tackle?
Exactly. He's trying to figure out, now we got to get a left tackle. So I understand that. I mean, I would tend to believe that Vrabel wasn't thinking, yeah, we're cutting you now. But for you to go into office and say, well, I know you're going to cut me. Well, what you're putting out in the universe, you're going to get back.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen, you know, more times than not, if that's the way you're thinking, if that's your thought process. And, you know, even though he was right, I understand that. But to me, you walk into your coach's office after you got injured, and I'm just going to try to get back. You know, I'm not bringing up cutting, you know, even though that may be in the back of my mind. I'm just saying, hey, listen, I'm going to try my best to get back to, you know, to where I was prior to the injury.
And I think it was a move that seemed obvious, at least to me and to a lot of the fan base, but he didn't help himself. So by saying that, by going to Vrabel saying, hey, you're going to cut me. So does he want to come back? And two, is he going to be healthy? That was the last thing he said. What is the next thing that you want to do? I want to get my knee healthy. Mm-hmm. So is he going to be 100% healthy? And would you be able to rely on him? From what it seems like over the past couple of years, no. No, it doesn't. And then also you have to ask the question, would he take less money? Does Taylor Lewan want to go through all the rehab, getting his knee 100% healthy, coming back, going through training camp, going through the grind of an off season, of not being the number one guy and making less money? I don't know if he wants to do that. I don't know what Taylor Lewan's priorities are. I don't know if his priorities are, you know, just keeping his family here and retiring here. I don't know if his priorities are getting another season under his belt and he'll do anything for it and he'll go anywhere to do it. I don't know if he wants to focus on media and his podcast. I don't know what his priorities are, but that's a pretty big question if we want to entertain, well, the Titans should just bring him back for less money. Does he want to do that? And do the Titans want to do that?
Yeah, you gotta have, you know, if this is what you want to do as a player, if you want to play again, if you want to play here, then you gotta have a partner that's willing to, you know, be in that same space with you. They say, okay, yeah, if you get healthy, then, you know, we will talk about a contract that would be, you know, friendly for us as a team, but that would bring you back so you can eventually retire as a member, a playing member of the Tennessee Titans. Yeah, but he said the right thing in regards to his injury. I want to get healthy first. Let me get healthy first and then reassess, you know, my future moving forward. Do I think there's still a burning desire in Taylor Lewan to play? Hell yeah. Why do I say that? Because his last play ended with an injury. No player, especially he's only been in the game 9 years, no player wants to go out that way. Now, if I can see if he was in year 15, 16, and it's like, man, okay, this injury, I'm just done. You know, I'm done. I don't want to even go through it anymore. I'm rehabbing just to have a better life moving forward for physically. But after 9 years and you know, a portion of that 9 years, you played at a high level. And then all of a sudden, because of these circumstances, you miss games and you were never able to recapture that form. You get injured your ninth year to last year. There's still something in him saying, I can do this. I know it. No player wants to go out injured. Players want to walk out on their own accord.
Exactly.
They want to be able to leave. I'm done.
You're not pushing me out.
Yeah, you're not pushing me out. Now, a lot of times it doesn't happen that way. But I'm going to believe, because of the competitiveness in Taylor Lewan, that he doesn't want to go out like this.
I wouldn't think so.
He wants to rehab first, which he said is right. Let me rehab first. But then I'm sure there's going to be a lot in him saying, I can do this one more year, to go out on his own terms.
And if he does want to do that, I totally understand that sentiment of, this is my career and I'm going to ride it through as long as I possibly can. And he's going to have to understand, you're going to have to bend and break a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he wants to play anywhere else. He might have to. I don't think anyone would want to play on a pay cut. Mm-hmm. He might have to. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I see your texts. We'll get to those coming up next. Plus, speaking of the offensive line, Joe Rexroad in The Athletic was playing a little bit of revisionist history. Or maybe was it not? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Ridley, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Not from a power dynamic, from a division of work dynamic, in not having somebody that's leader of football operations, Rand mentioned the kitchen staff.
Yeah.
If something like that comes up, isn't it cleaner to have somebody that, like,
I am very confident, and again, I don't want to speak for Amy or Kenneth or Barkley or Burke, but we have people in place and we've hired the right people to make sure that those organizations or departments are functioning to help the football team, the players. Like, that's what everybody's job here. His job, my job, Stretch's job, Chris's job, you know, Johnny's job, Joey. Every single person here is to do what's best for the football players so that they can help us win football games.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel in his postseason press conference. Bringing on the Titans' moves that they made yesterday, they cut Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Zach Cunningham, and Randy Bullock. And I think those were all moves that needed to be made. Those seemed like easy contracts to just cut off, start anew, you know, cut the fat of the guys that weren't contributing to the team and move forward. But Joe Rexroad wrote a column in The Athletic. This is the second Joe Rexroad column that we're referencing on this show, so I would appreciate maybe just a wee bit of the revenue since we're directing so much traffic to Joe's articles. Joe, if you're listening, just an idea, just a thought. But he said in this article, breaking down the Titans' moves and the Titans' cuts, why they decided to make those moves, he mentioned Zach Cunningham and says Cunningham was officially released after failing a physical, his primary ailment in 2022 being an elbow injury. Says keeping and paying him rather than holding on to left guard Roger Saffold was a key mistake last offseason by former GM John Robinson. Half of that, I believe, is true. Like, I don't think that it was smart to hold on to Zach Cunningham, a guy who gave you, you know, a handful of games work and wasn't, you know, dynamite in those games in 2021. So I would agree that bringing Zach Cunningham back maybe wasn't the smartest move. But Roger Saffold, was it really a Roger Saffold or Zach Cunningham conversation? Mm-hmm. And wasn't Roger Saffold also always hurt last year? He always, you know, stopped the game. Roger Saffold went down. It was a $12 million guard who was always hurt. I don't know, you know, what's the hang-up on Roger Saffold? I get it. It would be nice to have a veteran piece like Roger Saffold on this year's offensive line, but that wasn't because of Roger Saffold. That was because John Robinson just chose not to address the offensive line with other depth pieces.
Well, I mean, if you move on, because you got to see the scenario that they were in last year. You know, Taylor was healthy. Ben Jones is healthy. Mm-hmm. So you figure, okay, we can move on from Roger Saffold. Put, you know, God, why am I forgetting his name? Not Nate Davis, but
Aaron Brewer.
Aaron Brewer. Put Aaron Brewer at guard. Now he's protected by both our veteran center and our veteran left tackle. We put him on that side, so he should be good. So the anticipation was we got a healthy left tackle, and we got a healthy center mm-hmm. that's going to help this young, undersized guard, Aaron Brewer. Well, that plan looks all good in the preseason.
Until
your left tackle goes down in the second game of the season. Now you got to bring in another guy, Dylan Raidens, who didn't work out, hasn't worked out. Maybe it's a little bit different this year. You know, that experiment doesn't work. So you bring in Dennis Daly, and we know how that goes the whole season. So now
– LaRaven Clark.
Exactly. So now you have a undersized guard that you had penciled in because you had a center, veteran center that's pretty good, and a left tackle that's pretty good, a veteran guy. So you can mask, you know, his deficiencies a little bit. But when those two guys, at least one of them isn't there at all during the season, and then the other one, you know, gets concussions, he's coming back, he's not fully healthy, now you start to see, well, maybe getting rid of Saffold wasn't the best idea, because not only do we have a undersized guard, but we got a left tackle that isn't good or isn't ready to be a starter. And our center, as tough as he is, he's dealing with concussions. So now that whole left side is it went from being sort of the strength of your team because of Taylor and Ben to now it's become a liability.
Yeah.
You know, because Taylor's no longer there. Dennis Daly isn't playing the way you thought he was going to be playing. Ben Jones is holding on as long as he can.
He's giving everything that he's got,
but he's not the player he was. So now that whole left side is inept. Mm-hmm. And then the right side is no better, really. So now you have an offensive line that you looked at the beginning of the season saying, well, yeah, we got rid of Saffold, but this should be a strength of our team. It goes from being a strength to absolutely a weakness of your team. So totally. I don't think that the releasing of Saffold had anything to do with Cunningham. It was a whiff and a miss on Cunningham as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Those are individual mistakes, really.
Exactly.
And I don't even want to call, at least in my opinion, releasing Roger Saffold as a mistake. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, would you have liked to have had a Roger Saffold as a depth piece on this offensive line, a starting piece on this offensive line? Mm-hmm. Yes, because we saw how, one, John Robinson didn't address the offensive line in the mm-hmm. offseason, at least appropriately, and that was on John Robinson, not on, you know, Roger Saffold, but also, you know, with all of the injuries, things you just can't predict. But at the time, when Roger Saffold got cut, I was I was not, you know, confused by the move whatsoever. Mm-hmm. He was old, he was expensive, and he was always injured. It was a move that made sense, just as all of these moves this year that were made yesterday, cutting Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Randy Bullock, Zach Cunningham. It was a move that just made sense because you could take the money off your books and you could move forward on the offensive line. It just wasn't addressed, and that was another mistake by John Robinson.
Yeah, it wasn't addressed properly. They tried to address it, but turned out they misevaluated the guys that they were trying to address the problem with.
Mm-hmm.
We know the history of the left tackle position and them trying to fill it, and it just hadn't worked over the last couple of seasons. So now they find themselves in a position where they got to replace their left tackle. They may have to replace their left guard. You may have to replace your center. You may have to replace your right guard. So the only person you have is your right tackle in Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only guy that you can sort of, okay, this is, he's become quick, very quickly, he's become the veteran on that offensive line because we don't know.
Second year player.
Because we don't know what's going on with Ben Jones. We don't know if Ben's coming back another year or he's going to choose to retire.
Right.
You know, we don't know what they're going to do with Dennis Daly or ratings. We don't know what we don't know if they're going to sign Nate Davis back.
Mm-hmm.
So he's become very quickly the veteran guy on his offensive line.
One texter texts in the text line says Roger Saffold was a turnstile for the Bills last year. Look at his pro football grades. I hear that. I understand that. But that was this year. Mm-hmm. The Titans decided to move on from Roger Saffold last year when he was consistently hurt. So it's really easy in hindsight to say that Roger Saffold would have really helped this offensive line based off of what this offensive line looked like this year and what Roger Saffold looked like with the Buffalo Bills mm-hmm. this year. But that just wasn't the reality that the Tennessee Titans were faced with Roger Saffold when they had to make the decision about him when they did.
Yeah, I'm not sitting here saying that was a bad decision to let him go because, like you said, they had to weigh it. They didn't know that, you know, he was going to go to Buffalo, and I don't think he missed a game at Buffalo.
I don't know.
And that's what I was trying to look up, but I couldn't pull it up. But he helped with
– Played 16 games.
Yeah, so he missed one game. So he helped that offensive line protect that quarterback of theirs who they're getting a lot of money to, Josh Allen. And, you know, he was a part of a team that was predicted to go to the Super Bowl. You know, they end up losing, what, in the first, second round?
Lost to the Bengals in the second divisional round.
Yeah, so yeah. It's second round. But the Titans, you know, I can't fault them for letting him go because when he was here, he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if a guy's been injured – and maybe you're not getting the play that you feel you should be getting, then you're going to release them. So I don't fault them for that, but it just came back to bite them.
Right, and sometimes there are things you can't predict.
Exactly.
And when your GM doesn't address the offensive line, things happen like that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It seems like Titans wide receivers and Twitter fingers go hand in hand. So we will break down our thoughts about the most recent Twitter fingers from a former Titans wide receiver and your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. It is Caroline, Willie, DeMays, 1025, 1063, the game.
Do you expect any more big names to be released within the next week?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're happening today. I think Bud Dupree is an obvious guy to watch out for, Mace. We've talked about that. With production versus availability and money, they can save money on the cap there. I believe by these two moves, they're somewhere around $2 million under the cap currently, which is good. They're cap compliant, so they don't have to make another move by the start of the league year if they don't want to, but they will. It seems like they're going ahead and doing that. Zach Cunningham is one to be on the lookout for as well, and Jamarco Jones, who didn't play a snap last year, got injured during camp on what was a free agent signing out of Seattle. He could be someone that they could, you know, release and then actually bring back. I don't know the status of his health issue. I think it was a bicep issue. It may have been a pec. But nonetheless, that's where they can save some salary cap concerns and really start to gear up for what's going to be busy in free agency. They've not just the draft this year. I mean, they've got to get under the cap and actually be aggressive. They've got many holes on the offensive line. We know wide receiver. And then beyond that, there's little pieces that end up being a lot of the sum of the parts that need to be much better to raise the bar from where they were a year ago.
There you go. That was Outkick 360's Jonathan Hutton on the show yesterday, talking about the moves the Titans had made, the moves that they had yet to make. He mentioned Zach Cunningham, but as a move that they made later on yesterday afternoon. But one of the biggest moves they made yesterday was cutting Robert Woods, which it made sense. You know, they restructured his contract a few months ago. He was making $15 million initially. They restructured it to be about $12 across a few years and then, of course, cut him yesterday. And then, and that's not the crazy news. You know, we expected that. Robert Woods was a non-factor in this offense this past year. The noteworthy item is the tweet that came afterwards. The announcement was made. Robert Woods was cut by the Titans. And then we see a tweet from Robert Woods that says, quote, free! Exclamation point. And Joe Reister and I were talking about it. I filled in for Jared on Jared versus Joe last night. And Joe said, you know, I think that he's just glad to be away from this offense. And anybody would be. And I was like, yeah, that's probably a fair point. That this offense was so inept at times. And just even watching at home on our couches, we all probably looked at it and thought, gosh, what in the world is going on with this offense? So I understand Joe's point. But also, he was part of the problem. He couldn't catch a cold. He dropped so many balls that were thrown to him, and he was such a non-factor in this offense, and it wasn't because he wasn't schemed to be open or the ball wasn't thrown to him enough. He just dropped so many balls.
Yeah, he did. He wasn't and they had to have expected. I'm sure they expected, you know, coming off an ACL. I go back to what I said when he was signed. It was like, don't expect much from him because he's coming off an ACL injury. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like the ACL injury was, you know, in March, you know, right. March of that, you know, the previous year.
Yeah.
You know, it happened in October. And then you make this free agent move. I think it was October, November, somewhere around there.
Yeah, mid-season.
Yeah. So he gets hurt midseason, tears ACL. You sign him to – you trade for him and pay him the money. You had to have known that, listen, at this dollar amount, we may not get the production that he was giving the Rams.
And he might not even be ready week one.
Exactly. So he pushes himself to be ready – thinking he's going to be the second guy, not the first guy. They trade away A.J. Brown. Now he becomes the number one guy when physically, I'm not even talking about his ability to play receiver because I think prior to his injury, he was a number one receiver. He'd proven he can catch a lot of balls, make a lot of plays in the offense that he was in. But now you're asking a guy that's coming off an ACL to be your number one guy because you chose to trade away your number one guy. He's not ready. Physically, he's not ready. He was not the player that he was prior to the injury physically. Mentally, could he probably still do it? Absolutely. But I think because he wasn't ready physically, that probably had a lot to do with how his season went. Now, he may go on to somebody else's team, and I do expect his numbers to be a lot better than what they were here. Two reasons. One, because of the injury. Now it was a full year. He didn't get re-injured. So it was a full year without, you know, playing on that ACL. So now he should be back to close to form. And then two, the offense that he was in wasn't an offense that would allow him to be a 1,000-yard receiver, 1,100-yard receiver, 1,200-yard receiver. He's going to go somewhere else in the offense that probably allows him or affords him to catch more balls and be more of a playmaker. And he will not be the number one guy. He may not even be the number two guy. You know, he may go into a situation where he's the three and he works well from that position. I don't understand why the Titans brought him in here and thought he was going to be – your number one or number two guy. He was coming off ACL.
Yeah, part of that was unfair expectations by the Titans. And and I think Bud Dupree said it. Taylor Lewan also said it. They each said they came back too soon from an ACL tear. And that's why that year after, like we saw it from Bud Dupree in 2021, he just it wasn't able to be 100% himself because he wasn't 100% after the ACL tear. So I do think that's probably the biggest part of it is Robert Woods just wasn't 100%. He came back less than a year after he tore his ACL. But the tweet just rubbed me such a wrong way. Like, you had your fair share of issues within this offense. And don't act like you were mistreated by this organization. And maybe he had his own, you know, beef with whoever it might be on the inside of the building, and they didn't air that publicly. And I don't know if that was the case. I can't speak to that. But at least, you know, what I could see on the field, he was given opportunities with the football. He just dropped it. You know, he was part of the problem. They paid him a fairly, you know, healthy salary, especially a 30-year-old receiver, which isn't old, but it's also not a spring chicken.
But he's coming off an ACL.
Coming off of an ACL. Like, I think that's a pretty fair dollar amount to be given a receiver in that situation. So just rub me the wrong way. Like, don't act like you were this supposed to be some sort of savior and you did everything that you could. That wasn't the case.
Well, I'm sure he thought, too, that coming from the Rams where, you know that I'm going to get targeted at least 10 times, I should end up, you know, if everything is just even, I should end up with at least 5 or 6 catches a game for about 70 yards.
That's a really solid,
and maybe a touchdown,
pass.
You know?
Right.
Because that's just how this offense flows. This is a receiver friendly offense that he was coming from.
Right.
So you come from a receiving friendly offense to a not receiving friendly off receiver friendly offense. And I'm sure that frustrated him. He didn't say anything. At least we didn't hear anything come from him as far as him being disgruntled with how the offense was going. But I'm sure there was a part of him like, man, I didn't sign up for this. And you're right. He was a part of the problem, too.
Yeah.
You know? But when you come in and you're coming from one place and you're coming to another and you're thinking, okay, we got Derrick Henry. We got Ryan Tannehill. You know, Derrick Henry should take the pressure. They got to play me one-on-one. You know, I'm getting a lot of single coverage, so I should catch a lot of balls. Well, what you thought isn't what happened.
Right.
You know? And maybe now you're thinking like, good, I'm out of here. Now I can go somewhere else and I can flourish. Now I get to pick exactly where I want to go. Like if a team comes at me and say, well, we want to sign you. And I look at their offense and I'm like, maybe that's not the offense I want to be in. Well, you can walk away from that.
It's not a trade.
Exactly. You can shop around. Now, there may not be a lot of teams, you know, willing to, you know, bring him in considering his season last year, but I'm sure there are going to be a few that say you can be an addition to our offense. You can help our offense, and this is how you will help our offense. And I'm sure he will probably look at him like, well, it's better than what the Titans were doing. So, yeah, I'll sign a contract with you.
And I'm sure there's a lot of frustration that Robert Woods had about the season. And I'm sure there was a lot of frustration within the Titans organization about Robert Woods. I'm sure there was probably frustration all the way around there.
Yeah, because you got a guy that is coming off a Super Bowl winning team.
Right.
He saw how that team operated. He just, everything was, it was like, wow. And then you come here and it's like, it's nothing like this.
This isn't what I signed up for.
Yeah, this is not what I signed up for. So, I mean, I can understand his what I have tweeted it, probably not.
I have tweeted a lot of things that some Titans wide receivers have tweeted?
Probably not.
Probably not.
But, I mean, I understand. It probably was more so of, okay, I'm out of this situation. Now I get to regroup, reassess. And now we can sort of pick where I want to go. There's not going to be a lot of teams, but at least if there's 5 teams, you got 5 teams to pick from.
And that's on him.
Yeah, exactly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. I see a bunch of your texts. We will get right to those coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, the game.
So, PK, some moves made by the Titans yesterday. I don't think any of them overly surprising with LaJuan, Woods, Cunningham, and Randy Bullock. What's your reaction to that, and what's your reaction to Bud Dupree not being a part of those moves?
Well, look, there's no deadline on Bud Dupree. It's right. Not like because Bud Dupree didn't happen yesterday, he's not going to happen. It could happen today because they couldn't get in touch with his agent or with him. Or it could happen March 15th as a June 1st cut, which would designation, which would spread out the dead cap money. I think Bud Dupree is still inevitably going to be released. So it's a matter of time, in my estimation. $11 million of cap space right now sounds great compared to where they were. It doesn't sound great as you look to reconstruct a roster that's going to take a lot of additions.
There you go. That was Paul Kaharsky on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. And I do want to get to your phones. I see your phones. But first, he mentions Bud Dupree. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Titans fans were kind of, you know, rubbing their hands together, you know, foaming at the mouth, waiting for a Bud Dupree cut. But let's look at the numbers here, because like Paul Kaharsky says, there's no rush. You don't have to cut Bud Dupree right now. Mm-hmm. And really, based off of the numbers, it would not benefit the Titans to cut Bud Dupree right now. In 2023, he has a $20 million cap hit. But they can wait until June 1st and cut him after June 1st. And then you would not be on the hook for his $17 million base salary in 2023. All they would owe Bud Dupree if they decided to wait and cut him after June 1st would be $10.8 million, which mm-hmm. sounds like a lot of money, but it's a lot better than the 17 base and $20 million cap hit if they did cut him right now. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them wait until after mm-hmm. June 1st.
That could happen. I'm not sure that I wouldn't be surprised if they don't cut him for this reason. And maybe this is flawed thinking here. For this reason, they believe that he's productive when obviously Jeffrey Simmons is in the middle and Danico Autry and Harold Landry's on one side and then Bud Dupree's on the other. He's successful when put in that scenario. And I get it. He was. No lie about that. But here's the flaw in that thinking. History has already told you with two other players that you chose to either keep or bring in with ACLs. They've told you, well, three. Taylor Lewan, Bud Dupree, mm-hmm. Taylor Lewan, and Robert Woods. All three of them. After an ACL, they were not the same player the next following year. Now, Harold Landry, you brought up something during the break, Caroline, and it was completely right. Mm-hmm. Those situations, the injury, I believe, well, at least with Taylor, I know, it happened during the season. With Harold Landry, it happened before the season even started. It was what? April, May, somewhere around there? May?
Training camp.
Yeah. So June, July. Yeah. So he would have a full year, like a full year before even playing, of rehab. And then you go into the season. So I don't expect him to miss any time when he does come back. But here's the problem with that. He's not going to be the same player this upcoming season for you because it's going to be a season removed from an ACL. I'm not saying he's going to be a bad player, but the Harold Landry we saw before the ACL will not be the Harold Landry this year. He can be the next following year because it will be a full year of him playing through that injury and now really having an offseason the way he wanted to have an offseason. So if you're betting on Harold Landry being back to Harold Landry, which that will then help Bud Dupree, that's flawed thinking because – one, he's going to have to be on a pitch count, Harold Landry, because of the knee. And maybe, just maybe, he overcompensate and something else happens with a hamstring or something like that.
Right.
So you got to factor all these things into
knock
it.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood. I pray that he does it. But these are all the things that you got to factor in because history has told you with the other three guys that this could potentially happen, that they were not the same players after their injury. You know, that next following season.
I think so, you're right.
So you can't put all your eggs in a basket of, you know, hey, listen, Now that Harold Landry's back, we got Jeffrey, Denico Autry, Tier Tart, and then we put Bud Dupree on the other side. Oh, man, we're back to form. No, you're not. Because you don't know what you're going to have until you watch Harold Landry play in a game. Not practice, play in a game and see how effective he is. Is he back to being the Harold Landry that we saw prior to the injury? Because if he's not, then you're going to get the same thing that you got out of Denico Autry, that you got out of Bud Dupree last year. You're going to end up getting out of it, getting the same thing this year. And you don't know if he's going to play many games because he didn't this year.
Right.
So my thing is, I wouldn't be surprised, and again, it could be flawed thinking, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't cut him, but they restructure the whole contract.
Oh, they would have to. I mean, yeah, and that's the tough thing about Bud Dupree is you hold on to him. Okay. Because mm-hmm. I hear you're thinking about Harold Landry. And unfortunately, I think that's kind of the reality about ACLs mm-hmm. is you can get back to playing after year one. But is that knee totally strong? Are you what you were pre-ACL mm-hmm. tear? What we saw, Robert Woods, Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan, they were not. Mm-mm. But Bud Dupree, same thing with Taylor Lewan. You bring him back, you pay him a lot of money, but he's just not reliable. And that, you know, that's separate of Harold Landry, but I totally understand your thought process about Harold Landry is you're going to need another piece there to bolster up that defensive line if Harold Landry can't be 100%. But also, if Harold Landry can't be 100% and you count on Bud Dupree to be that guy, buyer beware.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you haven't been able to count on him since he's been here. He's been in and off and injured and healthy and, you know, in the game, out of the game. One texter texts into the text line, says, tear it down and start over. This team isn't close to winning a Super Bowl. There's too many holes. Trade Derrick Henry. Get something for him while you can. Tannehill needs to go.
No, Tannehill doesn't need to go unless.
Who's your quarterback?
Yeah. Who's your quarterback when Tannehill goes? Unless you can move up in the draft or you get Aaron Rodgers, even that, I'm like, But Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to help you win games. If you bring him on your team, he alone will win you 3 or 4 games. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to move on from Ryan Tannehill, there needs to be a contingency plan either through the draft or through free agency to bring someone in. Because I understand the fans saying tear down. But you can't completely – you're not going to completely tear this team down. I don't think they're going to get rid of Ryan Tannehill unless they have a guy they can bring in that's better than Ryan Tannehill. I don't see them trading Derrick Henry, even though that probably, you know, that's a move that you make and –
It's
not a popular move. I wouldn't necessarily like to move, but I understand why they would make it.
I would entertain it.
It all depends on what am I getting back
right.
for Derrick Henry. So I'm not in a mode of completely tearing it down. But I am, you know, in sort of the thought process of how do we continue to build this team but also stay in competition or stay in that mode of win now. Mm-hmm. How can we do that but also change some things within our on our roster, starting with the offensive line, quarterback maybe eventually one day, and then your receivers.
And it's really easy, I think, for fans. And I'll reiterate the same sentiment that I have about the Predators. It's really easy for the fans to say, you know, I hate this, change this, do this. I hear ya. I know. I hear ya. The Titans have already said they're not interested in completely tearing this team down and completely rebuilding it. It's not as easy to do that in the NFL as it might be, say, in the NHL when you see teams intentionally tanking or intentionally tearing things down. It's not as easy as that. And the Titans have already said they don't want to do that. Rand Carthon wants to win now. Mike Vrabel already said he has no interest in a rebuild. So I hear you, and you are totally entitled to your opinion. That's not what this team is going to do.
No, because then you got to look at Jeffrey Simmons, who you want to sign back desperately. You got to look him in the eye and say, oh, well, Jeff, we want you back, but, you know, we're starting over, getting rid of Derrick Henry. We're getting rid of Ryan Tannehill. And you saw who we've already gotten rid of. And we're going to rebuild, and we want you to be a part of this rebuild. If I'm Jeffrey Simmons, I'm like, man, I didn't sign up for this. You know, this is not what you promised. You know, a rebuild, right. And I'm young. I don't know how long this rebuild is going to take.
You saw how emotional he got after that last game against Jacksonville, rightfully so.
So I don't think Jeffrey or Kevin Byard, who's been in the league a while now, they're not in this, oh, yeah, let's rebuild.
Right.
They want to win now, as well as Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel. We want to win now. Let's find a way to move some pieces around, bring some new guys in, but we're going to win now.
Because you know what happens when you tear the team down, rebuild, you suck for a little bit, and then you get the first overall pick and rebuild? Your coach gets fired.
Yeah, so he won't
more
be
more likely than not. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts, TSN, will join us coming up next. We'll gauge what he knows about the trade deadline, about the potential trade partners that could be out there for the Predators. We'll get into that with him coming up next. It is Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.